tell you, Gaither's put out some tremendous music. I listen to their homecoming radio every day at noon on Sirius Radio, and I really enjoy them. A talented group and they have fun. And that's the. So when I saw him in concert in Columbus, he was there with the vocal band in the cathedrals, and it was just really entertaining. I was thinking about after a way to follow up this week after talking about healing last week, and one of the things that went through my mind is, how do we pray and not be distracted? And so I found 5 different ways, and I'll be honest with you, some of them I do, some of them I don't do. But the first one is just to write out a prayer. And, some people can do that. Sometimes it's difficult. One of the things we talked about in one of the earlier services, and I believe it was the Ash Wednesday service, was the word acts and praying. That A is for acknowledge how good God is, and acknowledge the power of God and the how supreme He is. And the second thing was the C was confession, because we're not perfect. And I remember a guy by the name of Alan Pender when I lived in Nashville and went to church, and he was teaching a Sunday school class, and he said, "Who do you pray for first?" And of course, people were saying, somebody else. And he said, "Yeah, you need to pray for yourself first." Yeah, you know, and it makes sense. And so anyway, the C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. And just thanking God for how good He is and how He watches over us. And thanking for our families, thanking for our church, thanking for our freedom, thanking for everything that you can, that you can think of. And then the S is supplication. That's where we come back and, after we've acknowledged how good He is and we've told Him, that we're less than perfect and thanked Him for everything, that it puts us in a frame of mind of asking Him for things. And Greg and I talk a lot about different things. And one of the things that we were talking one day about is, and I've talked about it too, is repeatedly praying the same thing. That God wants us to pray and believe and thank Him for that prayer. And a lot of times, when I write out, and I'll write out prayers and I'll write out things, and it's almost like writing a letter, and it seems like a little odd to, to start a letter out, Heavenly Father or, Dear Lord Jesus. It gives us a frame of mind that we can focus on and lets us begin to think about all the things we're grateful for. And it helps, I think, keep us focused. Somebody, as I was reading this week, said, sometimes you begin a time of prayer by reading past thanksgivings that have been written out. And they went on to say that they found that writing out other prayers has been very helpful as well. And I don't think, we write them out, we don't necessarily need to restrict ourselves to reading them. The second thing was pray specific Bible verses. Acts 16:31 said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And that's that's something that we oftentimes, people sit around and pray for their children and pray for their children and pray for the children. But he says here, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then Isaiah 59:21 says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore." Isaiah 59:21. And that's, and that's a promise that God gives us. Another verse, he says, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging bread. For he is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing." Psalm 37:25 and 26. had a call today from a call. It was on a phone, and I returned a call yesterday. Talked to this lady today, and she was apparently a mother of two or three children, and she was playing with them and pulled her hamstring, and so she hadn't been able to work, and going to turn off her utility bills, and turn off her electricity, I guess. And I listened to so much of that, you know, and how needy people are. And, you know, your heart goes out to them, but you also got to do a few things yourself. And I understand that the issue of being hurt, injured, I understand that very well. But you still can't wait for somebody else to take care of it. Read Bible verses aloud, like the ones that we just did, and then ask God, what are these verses saying to me? Use Scripture when we pray. Helps us build our faith. Helps us understand God's will better. Psalm 32:8 says, Father, you have said in your word, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So I ask that you would please counsel me with your eye upon me. Please show me the way I should go in this situation. And Cindy and I have been bouncing around the idea of selling our house, and because neither one of us really liked the location. And we finally come to the decision the other day that we're not. We're just going to, you know, not go out in the backyard. And it backs up to Route 4. And but we're going to put a fence up for the dog and forget about it. You know, I think it'll be just fine. You know, we just, you think about things and you make decisions and you wonder about them, and it's just, Lord, what should we really do in this situation? And it's like, just stay put. And so, so we did. There's a verse, Matthew 7. Verse 11. I mean, I should have had this open. I didn't bring the large print edition. Well, I'll just start with 10. It says, let me just start here with 7. It says, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you will and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Who among you will give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for a fish? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Therefore, you should treat people in the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. And he's saying in verse 11, if you are evil, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give to us? What he's saying is that he's comparing it. If we're as evil people, sinners, you know, give good gifts to our children, and we do, you know, I mean, in the illustration they give there, that if they want bread, you don't give them a stone, you give them bread, and like Todd was saying earlier, goes out and buys his son a car, you know. And we did the same thing when Carson started driving. And you know, and you give him that, and then and you know, and he did eventually get a job when he found out he was going to have to put gas in it somehow. But I couldn't get him to take the trash out. But that's what he's saying is there, that, you know, that if we're inherently evil, you know, and that's what he's saying, that we don't want to give our children bad stuff. You know, we want to give them good stuff. And I think that's what he's saying there. The third thing is, he says, make lists. And I make lists of things that to pray for. I write down everything Sunday. I write down everything that we talk about on Thursday and go over those and remember them. I used to add them to a journal, but now I just keep them on a separate list. And those are helpful because it helps us to go back and look at the people that have needs. And then when those needs are met, you can sit and stop and think and say, well, yeah, Lord, I remember praying for that day. So I write them down on the bulletin. And I keep them in the bulletin so that I can always go back and look at them. But we need to keep a list of current needs. Our family, our friend. One of the things that, you know, that I want to encourage us to do, and we have some tremendous Sunday services, I think, and we need to just continue to ask the Holy Spirit to be here and to be a presence in, you know, in our service. I don't know that it's necessary to pray through the list every day, but when we pray for something and we ask God for it, then we begin to get in that praise mode or the thanksgiving mode that He heard that prayer, He's going to answer that prayer, and that He is going to take care of everything that we've asked Him. The fourth thing is pray through the Our Father pattern. And somebody had written this, and as I was reading, looking up things on prayer today, it says, use each phrase to trigger a theme. For example, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise you that you are my Father. I will praise you that you are in heaven. Sovereign over all, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Praise you for your holiness and perfect purity and glory. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, please save multitudes in every nation. Please save our children and grandchildren. Please bring your kingdom rule into my neighbors' lives. And to that we can add military, we can add leaders of other nations, leaders of our own nation. This is about the most inept government, you know, from both sides that we have ever had anywhere. And if any nation needs prayer, it certainly is ours. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, please provide for my children. Please provide for us. Father, and I, you know, it says, if it would be your will, please give me. And then there's a blank that goes there. And I've always thought that that's a, you know, when people pray, if it's your will, then we don't know God's will. And I'm a huge believer in that. I was on YouTube yesterday. I saw this thing. I don't remember what I was doing. I pulled up MSN and something popped up on Joel Osteen. And, you know, like him or not like him, you know, that's not the point. But he was going talking about, you know, his form of the prosperity gospel. And, you know, and there's things that he says that I totally agree with. But he's saying yesterday there's many paths to Jesus, to God. I believe there's only one, and that's through Jesus. But he actually said that. And so anyway, when, you know, and so you look at some of the things that different people say, and you have to sort them out and have the gift of discernment to know what's right and what's wrong when we do these. And then the fifth thing was, pray in response to your Bible reading. Some people have found that that's really one of the most effective ways, is to read the Bible and then pray in response to what it says. Stop and pray God's word. If you read James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're deceiving yourself, pray, Lord Jesus, help me to obey your word. Help me to do it, to put it in practice. Lamentations 3:21 to 23 says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So, the five things. Just write it out. Pray specific Bible verses. Make a list. And the other thing is that we need to pray in belief that whatsoever we ask God, we need to believe that He hears that prayer. And He's going to answer that prayer. And so I think many people, as prayer is, Lord, please give me more and more, and, you know, more and this and that. And I don't think that's what God's will is. I think God's will is for us to seek Him, pray for our needs, obviously, pray for other people's needs, believe that what His word says, He will fulfill. And with that, you know, we're gonna announce a couple things. I'm gonna mention Sunday. I think we're gonna mention earlier, start a study on Revelation next week. And just, you know, go through it, and it'll be an education for me. Some of it I'm familiar with, and about all I'm familiar with is John wrote it on the Isle of Patmos when he was 95 years old, relatively old. So, no. Okay. Yeah, he's quite a end times. Yeah. He's quite an end times speaker. Please do. That's what I started doing, was journaling all of them, and it just got overwhelming. Over and over. Would she have got it any quicker by praying and believing? I don't know either. It's one of those, you know, one of those things. I know when you look at Elijah, when he threw water on, you know, on the altar, and then lit it on fire. He's prayed once. That's faith. There was a lady that had left because of a famine, and went away and came back, and someone was in her home and would not leave, and she persistently went to this judge, to, in essence, have him evicted. And I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha happened to be there at the time. No, it was the king. And he was in talking to the king about this lady's son who was raised from the dead. And she come in and it happened to be that lady that had come back, and she was seeking, you know, to get her land back, and no one would pay any attention to her. Mm-hmm. And I think that we go through seasons of things in the church or in Christianity. There was a time when, you know, there was great healing taking place in people's lives, physical healing. And although we see that, I mean, we do see it now, but not to that extent that, you know, I used to be we had this group called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And I spoke at several of them, and it was amazing the people that were healed. And that this has been 40 years ago, 35 years ago, that were literally, you know, touched physically. Some of them, and I remember there was one night that we were in one, there must have been a line of about 12 or 15 men lined up that had issues with, like, pornography. You know, in this group to be delivered from this. You know, and there's also, you know, there was a, back in probably the late 70s, a big movement on demonic oppression and demons being cast out of people. And my son's grandfather actually pastored a church that I attended for a while. And they were into that, you know, type of thing. It was like, whoa. Because that's some dangerous stuff when you get into it. Because demons are real. And the demonic possession is real. And if you're going to get into that, you better be touching the hem of Jesus' garment, literally, because it is some scary, spooky stuff. And I think that's what I would venture so far to say that that's a lot of the issue with the heroin that we see today, is that it's possessing people, you know, to the same extent that, you know, that there is demonic depression involved with it. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. Want to pray for Sunday, definitely. Anything else? Other needs, thoughts? I'm sorry, Karen. They mentioned terrorism was the first word I heard. Was it Croatia? That's great. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and we are just amazed at how you know everything. And how perfect you are, how sovereign you are. And how you know everything that's going to happen in each one of our lives. And yet, things happen. We get frustrated. We get upset. Failing to realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from you. and that you meant us no harm. And we're also thankful, Father, that you give us the grace to deal with what is given to us in the measure, Lord, that is needed. Never too little. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, there has been requests shared here tonight that you know far deeper and have far more knowledge than we do of what's going to come of each and every one of them. And Lord, you know who's going to walk through these doors on Sunday morning, and you know who's going to need to hear your word. And Lord, we pray that whether it be fellowship, prayer, song, message, maybe a cup of coffee, Lord, that needs will be met and people will grow closer to that relationship with you that is so vital, that gives us life and gives us hope, gives us purpose. So Lord, tonight we just ask your blessings on Kat as she's deployed, Lord. We pray, Father, for your guardian angels to be with her and to watch over her. And Father, to protect her. We pray, Father, for peace with her family, for the assurance, Lord, that she will be in your hands and taken care of by God Almighty. And Father, for those in the airplane crash, Father, whatever the cause is, we pray, Father, for their souls, and we pray for their families. And we just lift up their families, Lord, and just ask that they might find some peace and some comfort in a time such as this that's so difficult. And just pray, Father, that you will somehow undergird them, put your arm around each one of those families, and just assure them that, Lord, you are there and you're on the throne. And Father, we look forward to the election, and we look forward to where you're taking our country. And we just have to leave it in your hands. We have to do our part, but we have to leave it in your hands. And Lord, no matter who is chosen, we pray, Father, that the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon them. And Lord, that they will not be able to make a move. They'll not be able to turn to the left or to the right without your approval. And we know that can happen. And Lord, we do believe that that will happen. Lord, we pray for John and the loss of his parents. Lord, somehow, some way, you know the touch that John needs. And so, Lord, we commit John to you. And Lord, thank you for touching his life, touching his heart, Lord, and just helping him through this tough time and this transition time. Lord, we're thankful for Debbie and saying to her co-workers, let's just pray about this. Because, Father, prayer is the key. Prayer is the thing that binds us together, that binds us together with you. And so, Father, we give you thanks for that. Lord, we're thankful for this church, the way that you have led us the way, Father, that you guide and direct us in each and everything that we do. Father, we commit this time to you. We commit our lives to you. And Lord, we just say thank you for being God. But thank you for sending Jesus that we can have life and that we can have it abundantly and joyfully and have it in the full assurance that we're going to see you someday and see our families again. But Lord, we thank you for this day and for your blessings on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Todd, you've got another song there for us.